Welcome back, everybody, to episode 5 or 6 of Collaborative Effort. This is like my third time saying it, but hopefully this is the first video podcast. This is definitely the fourth attempt, but the other ones haven't stood up.
I was going to say I've been on camera a few times. You were the first one.
But hopefully this one will work. We're going to call this one Quarantine Season Part 1.
I like that name.
To my left is, my name is Anthony Haley Jr. first. To my left is Kevin Grant, a.k.a. John Arlington. Kevin Grant. Tell everybody about
Kevin
yourself.
Kevin Gillen.
No, just tell everybody about yourself for real quick.
Kevin Gillen. Or Grant.
What? All right. Well, you know.
Well, I mean,
just keep going.
All right. Well, Kevin Gillen, originally from...
I told you he was going to get louder as soon as you started talking. Go ahead.
Kevin Gillen.
No, go ahead.
Kevin Gillen, originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. I am a writer, actor, entrepreneur. Those slashes actually mean something. They're just not theoretical. I married with children. No Al Bundy. I don't know. I'm modest, so when I talk about myself,
he is a writer, an actor. He has had a successful fashion brand. He's from New Orleans, moved out to LA to pursue his creative dreams.
Yep.
He's a professional mutterer. You'll hear a lot of times he'll just start to trail
off. It's not muttering, it's reassessing what I'm going to say, but I'm saying it to myself.
Yeah,
not crazy stuff.
But Kevin and I have had a lot of shared experiences being from somewhere different, moving out to LA to pursue our dreams, and along the way, attempting or achieving different things along the way. So Kevin and I connect on a lot of levels, and that's why it's easy to have him here. Usually if you see him here, that means we ain't got nothing to talk about, but we'll fill up a whole episode of it.
He'll enjoy it.
We're behind schedule. We just had to do a self-taping for him. So we have to get this done in less than an hour. But that's also when the footage is going to run out on my
camera. Blame it on the rain, so like Milli Vanilli.
And this episode is not brought to you by oxygen water.
Yay.
By fusing two O2 molecules to create O4 molecule. To create the O4 molecule.
O4.
Oxygen water goes beyond hydration with 100 times more oxygen than regular water. It instantly replenishes your brain, body, and spirit. Who knew science could be so refreshing? Not brought to you by oxygen water.
And it tastes so good, but I probably shouldn't say that because it's not brought to you.
No, it's actually not.
This oxygen is, 4.
But
it's good water.
It's a brand that a friend is invested in, and they sent me some product. And I put this away because I knew at some point I was going to need water. Not that I'm out of water, but we are in quarantine season. So I figure between that and the first video episode of the podcast.
Absolutely. Bottom, cheers.
We're going to bring this out.
We did an air cheers.
Air cheers. Because
quarantine.
Quarantine. Social distancing. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah. All that is normal antisocial behavior. I've been self-quarantined.
For all of us. Years. For real. All of us that grew up watching The Walking Dead, we were ready for this.
Oh, yeah.
But so how are you spending your quarantine season during social distancing?
Man, sir? Just...
Hold on. My mic level's down.
Mine or yours?
No, mine. But it's all good. You're good.
It is all good. I got louder. I heard myself get louder. I'm spending it going absolutely crazy. Good crazy. Creative times, kids... Mm-hmm. The news cycle is on repeat, so it's hard not to kind of hear it.
Right.
But I think it's actually an opportunity for a lot of people to create things and come up with things that the world will need.
Right.
In the coming times. So I think it's been, bittersweet.
Yeah. I don't know. Looking back, you'll see a lot of successful people. They manage to, for better or worse, seize opportunity in moments of in adversity and when people are kind of distracted with everything. So not that I'm trying to take advantage of anything, and I'm not investing in the stock market right now, but for me, as you guys can't see, but you've seen, like, my whole living room has been a studio for a while. So I've taken advantage of this to do a lot of content, and since you don't live that far away and you're not afraid of braving the outside world, this is one of the things I'm doing, along with some YouTube and other podcasts, and I'll probably get back to Global Influence. If you guys are listening to this, I don't know exactly how you'll get the links to this, unless I can put it in the description, but for everybody watching this, I'll put all the links for all the other channels that I will be collaborating by myself or with other people with. Yeah, they'll be at the end of the video. We'll put them all up here.
I will say this.
Kevin's as well. Go ahead.
This dude's a creative genius, and I don't say that lightly, nor do I give that out a lot, except to probably myself. But he really is a creative genius, and I think a lot of stuff that he'll be coming out with, people will be able to appreciate and, you know, hopefully buy into, because kids got something.
Yeah, we'll see. Thank you, sir. We'll see what actually
happens. That's the last compliment he'll probably get from me.
Yeah, for 2020.
Yeah, I'm done. That's it. He gets no more. But yeah.
I don't know. It's weird times. What's the weirdest thing you've seen on the news? No, what's the weirdest thing, or in real life? Because mine is real life.
On the news or real life?
Just in this time, like recently.
I mean, I wish I could say like the mask thing, but I've been seeing that for as soon as I moved to California. A certain group of people wore masks already.
They were just ahead of the curve.
Yeah, they knew it. That's a really good question, and I don't know, because everything seems not normal. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? A lot. The weirdest thing is traffic is like non-existent.
Right.
And we're in LA, so that's like unheard of. That's like, really,
I am legend.
Yeah, you really, exactly. You know, I got a white German Shepherd. Sometimes I fancy myself as a Will Smith type actor. I'm sure. And you know, it's about the emotion. You know, I don't need the words. It's the essence.
You get that tear
of the character. Yeah, you know, I can sell it, baby. I can sell it. But you know, I'm running around with my shepherd Bailey, and the streets is just like clear. And like he says, also a fan of The Walking Dead. Sometimes I'm like, oh, am I right? I'm glad I own a gun. So,
yeah. And not scare anybody about this, what my story is, but it was like this started my Monday off a little weird. I don't even think I told you guys about this. So I'll still take the train now. I'll have my black gloves that are over there that I'll put on. But I was walking to the train to the expo line to go west, and I knew I was late. And I was like, all right, I'm going to have to wait for the next one. But I seen the one going east passing by, and as that one was passing by, that was the one nearest to me. There was a guy that had one of those vests on, as if he worked for like the city or whatnot, but he was filming something with his camera. And as the train going east went by, I could still see the one going towards Santa Monica was just sitting still. So as I get to the platform, I seen this guy, and he was alive as I start the story, but like he was laying on the platform with his head on the, like hanging off of the platform.
Oh,
like he wanted to be hit by the train. And it was crazy. So as I start walking up the stairs to the platform, like the guy stands up. So like he's maybe a little further than you and I are. And then there's a guy about that same distance behind him. Mm-hmm. And that guy's on the phone kind of talking to him. And this, like, it's been a long time. I won't say I never. It's been a long time since I've seen somebody look as out of it as he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked like a mix of maybe drugs and like shock and just like sadness. But like he was out of it and just kind of like spaced and moving. But he also had his hand in his right pocket. So as I'm coming up behind him, like, I don't want to,
right?
Like, I want to like try to help de-escalate the situation. But also I'm waiting to see what's in his pocket before anything. So I'm like, I could just make it worse. But he took his hand out, luckily, and it didn't seem like he had anything, or that he was like attempting to try to hurt anybody. So finally I kind of talked to him and, hey, like, why don't you take a step back? I got him to keep stepping back, and he finally took a seat. And then luckily enough, the other guy stayed with him while he was on the phone. And I think I seen like the police coming. But like that scared and saddened me at the same time. Like, it was just,
oh,
like,
so, I mean, he had intentions of like offing himself.
And like you say, training. You know, it could have, this is LA. It could have been just some normal LA crazy stuff. Like, maybe for all you know, he might have lost somebody in this, or just lost somebody from something else. But like that started making me think, it's like, yo, these are desperate times in which to experience something very tragic when you don't have the normal support system or the people there. Man. I was like, yo, I hope this isn't the beginning of another trend. And then in my movie mind, I'm like,
it's like, wait, I'm like,
this is like, if this was the start of the movie, this is like the first like case that we don't know yet.
Right.
And it's like, I've seen it then. It's like, it's going to come out later.
Took over. And then
don't nobody know this, except my sister. Like, I had a flight booked to go home tomorrow. I mean, last night at 6:30. Uh-huh. Like, you seen my bag. Yeah. Right there.
I was ready to go. I was like, so much enough.
Yo. And like, because, you know, well, I'm from Nebraska. You know, they're kind of like snowed in right now, but also it's not as bad there as it is here. And it's so funny. My parents are like late 70s, almost 80. So like they're products of that World War II era. So like the last couple of times I'm at home, I'm kind of giving my parents crap for like they're almost like hoarders. But right now, generation. I'm like, Pops is looking like a genius. Like they are stockpiled. And he's a retired head police officer. Game. So right. Like he got guns too. I was like, he got food and guns. That's all
I'm
need.
Safe.
But I'm like, at the same time, like I would feel like, I'm trying not to cuss, but I would feel like shit if I was the one that brought the sickness to them. So I'm like, well, I mean, either way, I could still go and go stay with somebody else.
Right.
But I also,
as a precaution,
realized, like, for me specifically, this is the most silver of linings ever, because what does that sound? But for me, like I told you when you came in, it's one of the few times in life in LA where I have the window to like this. I basically get to live the lifestyle that I want to live. Like I get to wake up and create all day and not feel like regretful because I'm not going to work or I'm not focusing on some bill.
Right.
Bills might not get paid right now, but ain't nobody.
It's okay. Yeah.
Paid. So like, it's like one of those things. It's like sometimes, you know, whatever higher power you believe in, or if you don't, if you just believe in yourself, you are offered opportunities. And it's like sometimes it's like if you're faithful with little, you'll be blessed with more. So like right now, I'm trying to be very faithful with my time and be productive. That's why I was like, yo, let me know the time you come.
Ish ain't working today. We got it.
Right. So like I shot like 2 YouTube videos last night. I just did one before you came in doing this. I'll probably do, well, I'm going to run out after this, but then I'm going to do like a solo podcast and do a couple other things. And then I did put a video up for Global Influence for the first time in like over a year, like 2 weeks ago, but I'll probably do some like new stuff, you know, just because why not? Because also, like you said, when we talked about people seizing the moment and finding opportunities, like the world is a captive audience right now, and we're all going to the internet for content,
yep,
or just to find something to pacify.
I give you a camera and just stand in front of me, like, come on, gorilla notice. Like, this ain't gonna look like a global influence production, but it'll look like something.
So for me, it's like right now, this is what I'm gonna do. It's just, you know, like try to make sure, like I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go out and go check a couple stores and I just slowly, you know, like in the Walking Dead days, I'm gonna make a supply run. Just get a couple of things, try to stock up.
Prior preparation.
Go out once, get home safely, touch base with everybody I need to, and then, you know, I may play a little Xbox, may stream some movies, but outside of that, I'm gonna just do this and just try to, you know, stay in the best space possible. Like I told you, you know, if I get some more time, I'm gonna start pulling these weights out. Hey, it's gonna be the gym, just like you're doing at your place.
Oh yeah, because, you know, cause coming back from Corona, so fine after that. You know, I'm like, man, what sickness you caught? You know what I'm saying? Caught fineness. That's what. Man. Like you mentioned it, and I think that, like you said, taking a little and getting blessed with a lot, to have the autonomy to really like focus and, you know, create for the foreseeable future. Because I don't know, some people out there may have kids too, and Newsom says school might not come back until August.
Man.
So it's like, well, you got to get creative, like with the kids, but yourself. But I think it's also a time of healing that people might not be aware of, because a part of me feel like the earth is just saying, like, you know, we need a cleanse of some sort, and not to say like it's for
this is
the
great
elderly
for the planet.
Yeah, like it's everybody has to stop, right? Like we base our lives around like the economy and you know, everyday life, with the idea of like, okay, one day I'll be able to do this or do that. Well, this is a chance to like really soul search and figure out like, okay, if I'm not doing what I should be doing when everything's normal, you know, this is the time you can find out, because like you said, the whole system itself is on hold, imploding, and so on and so forth. I'm sure it'll come back.
Right.
and probably stronger because something like that is what happens, or at least we used to that happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think you gotta take it and make the most of it, and that's even just like keeping in touch with people that build you up, bring you up, keep you focused, and not getting so caught up in the drama of it all. Because I'm sure, you know, it'll get worse before it gets better. But also mentally, if you're stronger for that, I think we'll all be better for it. And like you said, you could be creating all types of things, not just like art and entertainment. Mm-hmm. Like there's guides, there's...
It's a time to better yourself.
Yeah.
Internally or externally.
100%.
Read a book, do some... It's just plenty... Well,
learn a language.
If you have kids or not, it's plenty of time to meditate. Teach kids how to meditate, depending on way that you may not be able
kids
to,
are but. Terrorists. They're little terrorists.
You know what? This is not the type of stuff I like to talk about on this platform, hey. But you know what I went to stock up on? I bought a big box of condoms. Not that I even have anybody come over, but I'm like, in the event that I'm stuck in somewhere with somebody, I'm not trying to come out with a baby I did not intend to come out with.
Corona babies.
Man.
But then, I mean, on top of that, just all the medical resources are dedicated to this thing. So then I even wonder how that'll work, like, for people that are pregnant. Like, what's the protocols?
Yeah, I've seen somebody from, I think, from the World Health Organization. They were saying their biggest concern is having too many sick people and not enough doctors. So, yeah, that's the first thing that made me really think, like, okay, I have to do my part to not be out there, you know, making things worse.
Right, adding to it. And so you don't want to go to Nebraska and bring up, you be patient zero over there and be like, man, it was good. And then this dude came with his camera.
My sister sent me an article yesterday. I guess there was a shooting at a Hy-Vee in like West Omaha, which is like, traditionally West Omaha is where all the money is.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, they're crazy there too. But I was like, I told her, there's a saying, and you understand this, when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Like, these people ain't buying guns for nothing. Hopefully.
Right.
And I don't know. And I don't want to get political and all this stuff, but because I, for one, I'm not crazy about any of the candidates. And I think as of, well, I would always say as of today, but as of 2 weeks ago, I think if the election happened, we would still have the same president. But it's funny. Yeah. I feel like I'm liberal.
Right.
But like, I'm all for guns. You know, my father was a police officer, all that. So it's just so funny, like, when we're in a state that is very, like, anti-gun.
Yeah.
Like, we literally just had the elections, like, 2 weeks ago, and everybody's like, oh, anti-gun, anti-gun. And then you seen them lines at Martin B. Reading?
Cool. Look, we are in an anti-gun state, and...
Like, that went away quickly.
I will say, I guess I'm not... pro, I guess, shit, if you're not anti-gun, you're pro-gun. I'm from Louisiana, so I have a gun. I need my gun.
In the military. My best friend is a police officer.
Exactly.
Now.
Same here.
I am very, yeah.
Same here. But also, I read a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't take my guns. You got all the guns. Like, I know history. I know
that's just one thing. Well, go ahead. I don't want to stop what you're going to say. Go ahead.
No. I speak to that, but... Okay, so let's talk about now quarantine, everything else. So when the money dries up, because it will, because as you like, they're laying people off right and left already. Mm-hmm. Then just what you said about, you know, when you're a hammer and then everything looking like a nail. At some point, hopefully not, but if this drags out to where the normalcy of life hasn't returned soon enough, and people aren't getting the goods and things that they need. I mean, it's just it's human nature.
You're going on the same path, but I wasn't going to that destination. What I was going to say is the ironic thing is, as much as people have been anti-Bernie and socialism is stupid, like, we're about to be forced to have to deal with a lot of socialist policies just to survive. So it's just, once again, I don't care. Like, I liked Bernie in 2016.
That's actually a good point.
But so now it's like, I'll take either, you know, it is what it is. So I'm not trying to say all this as a pro Bernie person, but that's the irony, because out here I hear a lot of people, it's probably everywhere, a lot of people are anti Bernie, anti socialist, but we're going to be put in a position where we're going to need a lot of the things he's been talking about.
My whole thing is though, like, are those people triggered just by terminology? Like, is it socialist, or are they looking at the platforms? Because
most people aren't informed enough, so it's going to be best.
And that's because we got all these F schools, which is going to become super F schools because school going to be out so long. But I digress. Yeah. Because I'm like, all right, if you have a candidate.
Time out. That's going to be the name of your podcast. But I digress.
It should be. That's actually good.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Because when you think about the platform, right? And like you said, most people aren't informed probably. And that's why I said with the F schools. He's like positioning like for universal healthcare again like we had before. And my whole thing is like, so people are getting laid off, right? Losing jobs. So they would want to be protected, you would think, at least health-wise, right? If everything goes to shit, excuse my French, if everything goes to shit, at least you have your health, because your health is what you can make wealth, whatever, out of. But if you're unhealthy, you ain't got nothing. So why wouldn't your first impulse be like, okay, well, let's have some form of universal healthcare, where that's one less thing to think about. And I get, they like, oh, what are you gonna pay for? I'd be like, we pay for a lot of bullshit as a country. I'm pretty sure you can find the money.
Right. And it's just so ironic because all this is going on as whatever the vote, whatever was just going on.
The primary. And yet he's still losing. And I'm like,
it was like, but like that's, it wasn't until right after that in 2016 that they realized like, oh, maybe we liked Bernie. Now it's like, oh, it's like history repeating itself. Like, well, and I before Biden started talking, I like Biden a lot too. I don't dislike him, but I've always liked Bernie. And like I said, I haven't looked at everybody's policies enough to go one way or another, but I know I was all for Bernie in 2016. And I'm just saying the irony is we're probably going to end up in the same, more drastic situation a couple months from now, looking back like, yo, maybe we should have went with Bernie.
Yeah.
Because we are in unprecedented times where circumstances are different. Once again, it is what it is, but it's just like, I always look at things like in the story, in the case of a movie, when I look at the overarching arc, I was like, this looks like the path that we're going down. And it would be ironic.
People don't like change. Yeah. And
well, they're getting it right now.
Oh, well, so you think about, okay, well, Biden is probably the more normal, for lack of a better word, candidate of a president that we can
get. He's more business as usual.
Like, yeah, so it's like, I don't know if the American people in mass are thinking like, well, if we put up Biden, then more people will be okay with that. But I'm like, Trump was like a very drastic choice. So,
I feel like I heard a lot of people, there were a lot of people that were on the left that, for one, being real, didn't like Hillary, but two, they felt like they were like Bernie got cheated. So they were like, oh, we'll show you just because you did this, we'll take somebody that's not in the traditional political system and we will put him in the White House. And that's kind of what happened, because there is a large sect of people that don't want politics as usual.
Right.
But most of them are from a younger generation. Now, since, you know, everything that's happened in the last 3.5-4 years, I don't know where everybody stands, but maybe we need something different. But at the same time, like, there's no way Bernie can run in 2024. So.
No, yeah, it's now or
I didn't think he was gonna run in 2020 back in 2016.
I mean, after the heart attack, but he looked like he bounced back. I don't know if they gave him a pacemaker.
And that's the thing. I was like, yo, just off of human, like as a human being, I want the person that's gonna fight like that. Like, he ain't gonna go down quickly.
The last debate, I saw it. I was in his eyes. He turned away from the podium like, look, Joe. And I'm like, so okay, buddy. Yeah. He got some kick left. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, if y'all want to try something different, but I don't know. Because like, I was the same way. I was like, oh, Trump will win again, because now things are different. But even if he did, unfortunately, I wouldn't be surprised. I guess I'm not surprised at anything at this point, unless Bernie wins. If Bernie beats Biden for the primary and then becomes president, I'd be surprised. Because I know how socialist, the word, like, triggers for people, because you know, we've all been brainwashed one way or another.
Exactly.
And then also, he talking about a lot of taxes on people with a lot of money, and it's like, I like my money. I mean, everybody likes their money, I can imagine if you got billions of it, you just still, you're like,
give up half.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'd rather keep it.
Yeah.
So just the human nature of it, right? You see people hoarding toilet paper, so I can only imagine what they'll do with their money.
Right.
So
I don't know, bro. It'd be interesting times. I feel like we're going to be a day late and dollar short on that one.
But if they don't get a hold on the virus and it's like the pandemic of, was that 1918 flu? Spanish, it's going to look real different anyway.
Nothing but young voters anyway. Knock on wood because my parents.
Bite my mom too. But it's going to look real different regardless because you're going to have so many people out of work.
I can't see how this doesn't affect the election come November. Like, I mean, I would hope that we have a hold on things by then, but I just have a feeling like it's going to affect things.
But I think it's so much like in the periphery, like the collateral damage that's also happening. So obviously we have the older people. You hear me?
Oh, yeah, you're good.
We have the older people, right, that are at risk with the virus. But then, you know, it's trending younger too, so it's not just older people.
Right, that's true.
But also then you think about like, okay, well, the layoffs come, right? Then what that means with people not paying bills, with evictions. And I know they putting like these moratoriums on all this, but there's going to come a point where it's like, well, there's no money, right? Yeah. Like anywhere. And so the whole system itself either made implode or I don't know. So that's going to be a whole nother can of worms, because then it's like, well, if you got a certain amount of wealthy people that's hoarding and hiding and doing all these different things, and you have this class that's just been disrupted and now there's no longer means to even survive, then you're looking at a whole brand new territory that, you know, lawlessness unfolds and then it becomes like a movie, and then, you know,
it's gonna be looking like a lot of these countries that we see on the news overseas. Yeah.
And there's nothing you could, because the whole civilized notion comes from, you know, our system, our economy. But if you take that out of the mix.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I think, I mean, I don't want to downplay the actual virus, but I don't think the virus is that bad. And I don't think that issue will persist on a global level for that long. But I think all of the fallout, all of that is going to be the bigger concern, which we all are aware of, but in this short time, I think it's shown a lot of us how quickly all of that surface level kindness erodes. And we're just seeing a preview of real human nature.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. I don't want to say you want to be prepared for it, because we should be better than that nature, but it is human nature. So I think we as human beings, we're having our eyes open to a lot of things, how fickle and how flawed the system is, how flawed we are as human beings, and how much we don't care for each other. So it's like, either you got to leave with love, but you also have to prepare yourself mentally. You know, I realize, like, as much as, you know, I mean, I've been downsizing, just trying to cut expenses just to do all this stuff. Luckily I have, and just like the meal prep, and I've been keeping stuff in the kitchen, but I realized how unprepared I was for a lot of things, like things I thought I was prepared for. So, and like health, resources, finances, even mental. Like, I feel like I'm a very strong person mentally, but like some things, like, they were like weighing on my mind. I'm like, oh damn, like I thought, you know, like my one thing that I've been always trying to tell myself, at least in the last year and a half, and especially now, is to not let my decisions be led by fear. Like, right. I think there's a certain like observation and understanding of risk, but to not be led by fear. But at the same time, I think there's a balance between that and being prepared and just knowing what the possibilities are and the variables are in life on all levels. So I don't know. For me, I'm just, that's what I'm taking away from it, is like, for one, I think this will pass.
Yeah.
But this may not yet be the worst of what we're going to see this year. So this is kind of like maybe the pop quiz. Like, okay, we failed this. Now you got to hurry up and get prepared for whatever may or may not come next. Hopefully not, but you never know.
100%. In fact, I know that this isn't the worst. The thing, to go back to one of the things you said, like, you know, we all have like our masks of how we act in a normal society. Mm-hmm. I think the plus is you have people who will, the good of us, I guess, who are truly faithful in that and walking that path, that will still be around. But I definitely think like, there are those who are like that in normal times, but when self-preservation comes and survival hits, then the masks come off, like we've seen. But I say all that is, I think humanity in itself, the goodwill went out, even through like all the bad. Like I think about like Katrina when that happened, and you know, shit hit the fan. It just got real, and it was things that happened even to this day that still are unknown. Right. But I think what we're dealing with now is like the black swan phenomenon type thing. Like, because it hadn't happened, people didn't think it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't prepared.
Right.
So there's only so much preparation you can have for something that you, I mean, like, it's pretty new.
And another, let me cut you off.
No, you go.
Well, another variable that I realized, like, for me, I've always, like, my whole family's older, and being in like the barbershop environment, like, I've always gravitated towards and like been kind of like older people kind of gravitate towards.
Yeah,
so I always get a lot of advice from older men, and they will always like shit on the younger generation, and it is also a product of them wanting to provide better for the next generation. But when they say that we're soft and all that, I think that you're seeing a lot of that now, because not only the younger generation, but speaking like for more on the West Coast, like, we've had it so good
that
we haven't ever really went through anything. Mm-hmm. So now going through something that is probably like unreal life for the average person, somewhere between a 3 to 6 on the scale of like terrible right. That and our lack of preparedness, like, we're overcompensating for it now with the fear and everything else, because we've had it so good. So it's definitely something that hasn't happened before. But I think the result of the prior generation wanting to make things easier on us, like, we've had it so good that, like, we've been, and we've seen, you know, so much through the media, whether it's movies and then just stuff that's being reported on the news, that, like, it's that state of shock and fear that is inciting a lot of this. But I have a text from my sister that she sent to our family chat, which is silence because I text too much. But before we leave the subject, I figure it's something good to share. She said, So it was presented today and seemed a really good question for now. I present it here. Are you prepared to help another/stranger if a national disaster crisis broke out right now? What are you prepared to do to help? What will you be able to offer to help? She said, personally, I'm still asking myself what I would be able to offer. And she goes into what she would offer. And then, how about you? So I think that's, you know, before we move on from this subject, because I don't want to just get everybody down with everything that's wrong, but it's something to think about.
Yeah.
Today, tomorrow, whether things get better or worse, just, you know, in the spirit of leading with love, is like, what, now I'm not asking you to answer, but like everybody else, it's something to think about. It's like, what can you do
To help the situation, you know, and not hinder?
So it's something to think about for whatever happens.
Yeah, I mean, how can you bring light into the world? Amen. You know, could be some words, could be, you know, canned goods. I don't think it has to be anything ginormous all the time. But
I think, anything, like, even if it's making somebody laugh. Like, right now, it's something we could all do, and that I've been trying to do is, like, anybody I can think of, especially people, because there's a number amount of people from my hometown that are out here just, like, texting people, checking on people, calling them. Seeing what they're, you know, how they're doing, seeing if they have everything they need, if you have some way to help, you know, I think that's good. Like, I'm probably going to start doing just some funny YouTube stuff, like, let people laugh at me, you know?
Yeah, no.
Because, you know, like I said, laughter is good in times like this. So, you know, I try to, you know, give a little more in different ways, but yeah.
So it's a good idea.
So, yeah, you know, because like I said, you got to, in anything, light, you have to be the change you want to see. So it's like, if everything is going so negative and in one direction, how can we push in the other direction in little ways? You know, whether it's informing people, whether it's sharing information, whether it's sharing a laugh, just checking on somebody, you know, or sharing resources. So,
like, there's got to be light on the other side. So,
we are the light. We just got to share it.
Yeah, that's true. Not hoard it.
So what are you streaming? You watching anything right now? Any shows?
I was trying to catch Westworld, so I'm on. Yeah.
Where you at?
Season 2, because I.
How far in?
Second, season 2, episode 2.
First time seeing it or second? Or are you going back?
I'm going back because I watched one, and I, like, long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched 2 probably right after. And so I'm like, well, before I get to 3. And so I don't have enough basis on 2 to say, like, how I feel. I know it looked different, like, from you know.
Westworld is the only show that has actually like made me feel stupid, and I'm fine with it. Like I appreciate it, but I would say I probably should have went back and watched it again because I don't like I know like I could tell you what happened in every episode. I don't know busted. What it mean though.
God bless the truth.
So yeah, but yeah, that's the main show. Like I'm glad, especially in times like this, we can't binge watch it, but I wish. Like, oh, yeah. I was like, you know what? Why don't somebody leak that right now online? But then I'd be mad for the next, like, 9
Right, you'd be mad after. But then also it's like, yeah, well, you know, just in case.
But it's a sign of a good show when it starts, like, you're already mad because there's only a limited amount of episodes. But, yeah. Like, it's, like, I already know, like, typically season 1 and season 2 of good shows, like, season 2 is a continuation of the arc from season 1. Mm-hmm. And typically season 3 is about the time they get a bigger budget, they renegotiate everything, and they already, that's when they start to expand the world in the stories. Mm-hmm. And I knew when season 2 went over, I knew that The Coming, which is now the past season of Game of Thrones, was the last one. So Westworld was HBO's biggest show, so they were going to give them a budget. And you can, if you haven't seen it, so I don't know anything, but you can see in the trailers on the first
episode.
That's
what I was going to say. Like, I was like, oh.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, I knew they were going to expand the world, but, like, the budget.
Oh, yeah. I could see from the trailer. And then even with the third season, I'm like, oh, okay, so, it's, you know, it's just exponentially growing. To say that, did you watch Outsider?
Yes. I just finished
it. Would you think of that?
Well, I from the tone, as soon as I seen the trailer, I assumed it was going to be something close to The Night Of. Because, mm-hmm. like, The Night Of, it was great, and I think it was well done, but I was still slightly disappointed. But mm-hmm. also, I think it was based on a true story, so I can't be mad at it. Yeah. So I say that to say I came into it with my expectations managed, but I liked it. Like, I didn't expect them to go where they, went with it. I'm like, all right. Like, I seen them do that once in, I haven't seen season 3, but the first season of True Detective.
Yeah.
So I was
yeah.
like, all right. So, like, to see something like, I mean, HBO, they did Dragons and Zombies, so, like, it's not outside of their wheelhouse, but, like, when you see a show that's so grounded, you don't expect to see that.
Yep.
So I mean, I loved it. It's not the greatest thing ever, but like I would give it a 7.5, 8 out of 10. Like if it was longer, I would have kept watching it. So I think that was the last thing that I actually finished. Maybe one of the last 3 things I actually finished. So I liked it.
Yeah, I finished that.
Now if they do another season, I don't know if I would be excited to come back to it like by then. But if they did it right now, I'd be on it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because yeah, with
yeah, like
break,
a year from now, I'm like, yeah.
I think you'd almost have to do like True Detective and switch out, you know, mm-hmm. the characters just to.
Well, yeah. I mean, time. Well, as long as they keep the element.
Oh yeah, yeah. Could, well,
then, I mean, then, yeah, you, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to spoil any, you know, for everybody that hasn't seen it.
Spoiler alert! No, I won't do it. But yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I know I said like with a caveat, but I think it ended the way it ended to keep it open.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have liked to seen some different things, but
yeah, I mean, except for the last minute, like the post credit, whatever. I loved it all, and even that, I'm like, yeah, I get it.
I mean, yeah, well, yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. Like, no, that's the last thing. So I did Outsider, and then I realized I never finished Ozark because I know Ozark's coming out on the 27th.
Yeah, I gotta finish that too.
So yeah. I'm trying to think what else. Did you ever watch The Witcher?
Not yet.
I started it and I was like, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Like, yeah.
No, not like it seems worth going back to it, but I realized.
Is it a lot going on?
Well, I think I was told that the first episode happens in different time period, but like it's not clear. So like for me, and I think I was on the train, I was going to Texas or somewhere, and I was watching like, yo, what is this? Like, but so it's one of those shows where so many people are talking about it, like sometimes, you know, if it's not clicking for you, it's probably you, and it's not just the show is terrible. Not that I heard it's amazing, but like I want to go back to watch it, but man, it's, I think I'm up to episode 3 or 4 and I'm still like, yeah.
For example, because I have that issue with my wife watches Good Trouble, so by default I'll,
what is it,
Good Trouble on I guess it's Freeform now. Mm-hmm. Like it's a good show, but the way the narrative goes, they'll leap around, and right. So sometimes I'm confused.
I've never heard of that. Look it up.
Yes, it's like a spinoff from the Fosters. So like they had this family.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Like it's grounded. You know, it's real time now. The two main characters are sisters.
Mm-hmm.
One's in tech. She's like a programmer. Mm-hmm. And the other sister is a lawyer, or she didn't pass the bar yet, so she will be a lawyer. Again, good characters, good premises, but the way they jump around, I think you have to learn how to follow.
Right.
And it's like one of those
called Good Trouble?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah, so I think it's good. But sometimes, I'll be like, wait, that happened already? Or so it'll be like a spinoff of how, remember how stories for a time would start off with the end, and then so they do that sort of. So they may start with the end, but then they'll be jumping around all like back and forth.
Okay.
But and you know, it's not like they're doing physics on there. So I'm like, it's probably on me. Like maybe my attention is just too divested. But I still think it's a good show.
I'm just looking up all the stuff on like my Apple TV app. There's a show called Briar Patch with Rosario Dawson.
How's that?
It started out really strong. Like I just finished episode 5, and you know, I'm like, eh. But I used to have a serious thing for Rosario, so I'm gonna watch her all the time. But it's the same dude that did Mr. Robot, Sam Esmail.
Oh, okay.
So it's like it has that same type of style. It's shot in that same way. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting story. I think it's just I'm at that midpoint where it's a little. Whatever.
Yeah, well,
I'm at least go through episode 6. I just started Devs on FX, which is on Hulu. It's supposed to be their next big show. I have no idea what's going on, but in a good way.
Okay. How many episodes have you seen?
I'm like 20 minutes into episode
1. Oh, okay.
So I think there's only like 3 episodes out right now. It just started.
I'm a big fan of his for Ex Machina.
Yes.
And so I wanted to give that a chance and check it out because
I think it's worth it. You know, let me see. This may not be for you. It may be for your wife. Maybe for you. You ever heard of a show called Flack?
No.
If so, did you ever watch Ray Donovan?
Some of it, like.
But you know the premise of like who he is, like as a fixer. So imagine put Ray Donovan together with Jessica from Sex and the City. Okay. So like, if she was Ray Donovan.
Oh,
but it's the same, but I think it takes place in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But like she has all like the same, I mean, obviously there's not a lot of violence, but outside of that, she has the same flaws, same issues.
Right.
But it's a little more comedic. It's mainly a female cast. So on Showtime, so it's got great writing.
Flack.
I'm just about to start episode 3, but it's pretty interesting.
I'll check that out. I try to open my horizons.
I just, cause it's the girl, Anna Paquin, the girl, Sookie Stackhouse from True Blood.
Okay.
So I was like,
Flack.
Yep, that's a good one. And then I don't know if I want to watch this right now, but there's a TV series of War of the Worlds that's on Epics. Epics has some good shows. There was a.
Did you see Godfather on there?
Godfather on, yep. But there's another one. It's kind of like a Deep State.
Deep State. I heard of it.
Deep State was good. They had 2 seasons of that. There's a few shows on there. Like I'm looking at like 8 shows that are supposed to be pretty good. I would watch Deep State. I maybe may try War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna try and catch up on Better Call Saul.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I started Patrick Melrose. Did you ever watch that? It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, I like him.
It's on Showtime.
There's so many shows that it's just like.
But now's the time. So it's like if somebody's listening, they may be needing something to watch. I just finally watched 1917. That was a great movie. Like that's really? A master class.
Really?
That is a master class in filmmaking. Wondering.
Oh, well, yeah.
No, not visually. Even, no, everything. Like the writing. I mean, it's not I would say it's not the deepest writing, but like you gotta. They say it's like 3 long takes. It's probably a lot more, but still like. To tell a story in one continuous motion,
right?
Like and get all of the arcs all and the elements, the, yeah. Like for all of that, it's a masterclass, bro.
I got like, to check that out.
It is solid. Like it's solid. Yeah. It's just short of perfect.
Yeah, I remember they did an article on like the cameras and stuff they use, like cinematographers. Mm-hmm. So I was interested in just that whole. I know they sold it as a continuous shot, but like you said, I know they had to cut some. But
even, I mean, even on. Like the art of hiding the cuts.
Oh yeah, and yeah, like, yeah.
Shit's amazing, bro.
That's magic to do that.
And then I'm gonna finish. I'm on episode 13 of season 2 of Preacher, and I think they ended on season 4. I don't know if it's any good anymore, but I'm gonna try that. And then Into the
that
Batman.
Was that more funny? Was the Preacher? Is that Seth Rogen's?
It's funnier than Walking Dead.
Okay. Is it the same? Is it zombies involved or
it's
just
demons?
The,
it's demons and vampires and all that.
Really?
But yeah, in a good in like I'm trying to think of the element. Like I don't know what to compare it to. And then hold on. And then Into the Badlands, which anything that's not too crazy that takes place in the post-apocalyptic world. Like I was already into the show, but I stopped watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna get back on that. And then the last one. You ever heard of Happy?
No.
Bro, it's... I was texting this girl about it. I don't see how I described it.
Happy.
I'm
surprised they haven't made a Book of Eli into a TV show.
I told her it's like Die Hard meets Superbad meets Big Mouth. Have you ever seen Big Mouth on Netflix?
No.
Watch it, not with your kids around.
Big Mouth.
It's an animated series about kids going through puberty, but but they have like imaginary friends, but they're called hormone monsters.
Oh,
but
wow!
Bro, have you ever seen
I know what you're
talking
Sausage
about. Party.
Yeah,
like it's just short of that bad, but like it's a kids animated show. Like it's a show as if it was animated for kids, but it's not.
Yeah.
So in the same concept of how there's imaginary friends there, the show Happy, just imagine, like. John McClane,
mm-hmm.
written by the people that wrote Superbad, like that type of
character. Oh, okay, yeah.
So that gritty, that's that real, purpose, that though. Like I don't give a.
Mm-hmm.
But then he finds this. Well, this imaginary friend finds him. That's a unicorn. And like I've only seen the first like episode, trippy. so it's like the setup is this girl is kidnapped. This girl is kidnapped by Santa. Just roll. This girl is kidnapped by Santa.
Okay.
She has an imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
That goes out to find this guy. You come to find, and this is all in the first two episodes, the guy is her dad and doesn't know it.
So
he almost dies, and he in the hospital he's shot up with these drugs, so he thinks he's hallucinating.
Uh-huh.
This is like, remember, this is like John McClane, like,
right,
everybody, shoot everybody, kill everybody.
The man. He's a protagonist.
And it's this little like unicorn that's trying to get this guy to save this girl that he then tells is his daughter, and this guy doesn't want to accept it. So it's like the child part in the unicorn with like John McClane.
Right, he's far from.
Like, yeah.
I gotta check that out.
Like, I ain't gonna lie, I smoked for the first time in a while. Last night, I started watching that.
It's probably how he came up with
it. Perfect.
It's like we got My Little Pony talking in your ear.
So yeah, if I'm barricaded in next week, I'm gonna get through all them shows and play some Call of Duty.
Especially. Yeah.
Like those are the winners right now, the streaming companies and the video game companies.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So, yeah.
I'm going to try and be productive and write.
Oh, it's a balance. It's a whole balance. I should, spend about an hour or two editing and then maybe three being stupid and, come back.
Well, I'd be watching a lot of kids' shows. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to have your tablet or your phone with your headphones on. And
yep. Keep the one AirPod.
Don't let them see the Big Mouth or Happy because they gonna want to see it.
No, especially my daughter. She's at the sponge age, so she'll repeat. Bro, no problem.
When you get a second though, just watch Big Mouth. Just try it on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna start that one tonight. I'm gonna make some time for it because it sounds like I'll be happy about it.
Yeah. All right, bro. Well, we made it, and I think this video might work. We gonna see. Let me see for everybody. Let me see where the social media is. If you are listening to this, you can find this podcast. The site is gonna be not available right now, but if you want to save the URL, it is collaborativeeffortpod.com. You can find us on Instagram at collaborativeeffortpod.
Boom.
And then on Twitter,
tweet
at, where are we at? Don't know.
Awesome.
Collaborative Effort Pod. So same thing.
All that suspense.
Yeah. And same then way. We will definitely we'll definitely drop a YouTube link in the description somewhere. Thank you guys for listening.
Appreciate y'all.
Where can we find you at, if anywhere? You still on social media break?
Yeah, I'm a ghost. Can Cool Hand Grant if it's up
in
the future at some point.
But you'll be back. This is going to be a multi-part series, quarantine season.
By then I'll probably be bored too and be like, yeah, I came back, guys. So it'd be up.
Well, thank you, sir.
No problem. Anytime, all the time.
See you guys soon enough when we get back out the house again, or he gets back out the house.
Yeah, probably sooner than later.
All right.